Amen. Once again, good to have all of you here. Antonio, where are you? Raise your hand there, buddy. Antonio has trusted Christ as his Savior. He's going to be going through discipleship with Brother Mike Kelly. Looking forward to that. Had one of the young ladies from the Spanish ministry come to me yesterday and said, Pastor, I just led a lady to the Lord, but her 17-year-old son has all kinds of questions. Can you help? They speak English. Praise God, you better believe it. Amen. Now, I have good news and I have bad news. I have 7 pages of notes. The first 6 pages are introduction and review. The last page is the message. So I'm going to be giving you a very short message this morning, but it's going to take a while to get to it. By the way, I want to thank the Greens, Dave, and Esther for the breakfast this morning. Every church needs somebody that used to cook in the Army. Because I'm telling you, that was a feast this morning. Those of you that had breakfast with us this morning, do anything you can to stay awake. I'm about ready to fall asleep. I'm telling you, those biscuits were good. But anyway, I very much appreciate that. This is a special time. I told you, this is my favorite time of year. And this is one of my favorite messages to preach. So let's go into God's Word together. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name and for His glory, may this time be spent looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, who came to earth, truly was born to die. I pray that you'd open shut up hearts, Lord, that wills would be yielded to you. Anything and everything that is done for eternity cannot be done by human endeavor. I pray that your Spirit would truly have free reign within these 4 walls, even now. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. The book of Acts, chapter 10. What we recognize at this time of year, never gets old. Never. The incarnation, the fact that the Son of God took on human flesh and dwelt amongst men, that He came, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. By the way, that's your sin, and that's my sin. It's true. We started the year with this, and in fact, actually a little more than a year ago now, and we have often repeated it. Everything changes when God shows up. There are some that resist Him, but that's the change. Then there are some that see Him and they trust Him. That's change as well. One way or another, you go through the New Testament especially, but you can see this with God in the Old Testament. When God shows up, everybody makes a choice. Everybody. You either listen or you resist. You either invite Him or reject Him. But everybody makes a choice. Everybody this morning will make a choice. In fact, even before we really get into this, there are some that are already making a choice. I pray that it's the right one. But we saw this from the very beginning. He changed the world. He changed your world. He changed my world. He changed their world, as we're going to see. And by the way, because of that, we can change our world. We can give the gospel. He went about doing exactly what was told about him in the book of Acts. Please look at the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. Very quickly, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? I want you to remember that. Please remember that. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Every time you look online and you read the news, you're reading about somebody being oppressed by the devil. They're being led around by the nose, as it were. They're being told, this is not good for you. You don't want him. You want this. That's what's happening. Jesus came to break that power, the power of the wicked one. When soldiers were sent to Christ by the Jewish leadership, they came back with this: never man spake like this man. And by the way, that's true. He went about doing good. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, for unto us is a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, listen, the Prince of Peace. You know, we could sure use the Prince of Peace right now, couldn't we? If we would only open our hearts to him. But the fact of the matter is, they're not. And we're seeing. And there are so many that recognize it, but the world doesn't want to listen. More books have been written about Jesus Christ than about any other individual on earth. And that doesn't include the Bible. Why is it? Because never man spake like this man. When Jesus came, like we said, he went about doing good. He did more than any other singular individual that has ever lived. Why? Because he was God come in the flesh. I want to quickly just go through some things that we looked at a year ago and just remind ourselves, this is the Savior that we preach and that we teach and that we follow and that we encourage others to do the same. These things are irrefutable. You cannot deny them. For instance, what Jesus did for the individual. We know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, this room is filled with whosoever's. Absolutely filled. There is not a person in here that is not mentioned in John 3:16. Because I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Colossians 1:27, Paul told the church at Colossae, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Who is that? The whosoever's that said, come, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. That's who they are. The world before Christ was a world, it's hard to believe, but it was a world before hospitals. A world without charity. A world without respect for the sanctity of life. Do you know that hospitals were an innovation of Christianity? The nursing profession was founded by Christians such as Florence Nightingale. The International Red Cross was founded by Christians. They wanted to fulfill the biblical mandate of going out and helping others, serving others. Child sacrifice was among the pagan religions that ground to a halt. Slavery was eradicated as a result of efforts of Christians, such as William Wilberforce, who was influenced by a man who was a captain on a slave trade ship, and he trusted Christ by the name of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. That's how it came about. There was the individual. Women, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Listen, Lauren Cunningham, David Hamilton pointed out in their book entitled Why Not Women that the Greek philosopher Cicero likened women to slaves, dogs, horses, and donkeys, all possessions to be used and cast away. Ladies, that was your lot in life under the old way. Jesus' teaching and example reconfirmed the truth that in every way, women are of equal worth as men in God's sight. And all God's men said, which brings us to the family. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Watch this, which is the first commandment with promise. It's not a threat, it's a blessing. The application of Jesus' teachings gave permanent strength to the world's most important institution, the family. Wives were not slaves. Husbands weren't to be tyrants. Children possessed significance. No wonder Satan does everything he can to destroy the family. Then there's the church. Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church transformed the Roman Empire, rescued learning from the destruction of the Middle Ages. It was Christians that saved so much of the knowledge that was going to be destroyed by certain individuals during what is commonly called the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. They rescued it. They wrote it down. They kept it. History would be drastically different without the act of God's people in every century. God's people. Even today, without the compassion, the evangelism, the humanitarianism, and social works of the church in scores of nations, the lives of millions would be without hope. How can I say that? Hang on, we'll get there. First of all, there's government. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 4. For he, the ruler, is the minister to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. When was this written? When there were people that were being put to death because they were Christ. By government. But Christianity was changing it. And the change would continue. Prior to the Christian faith being applied to civil government, people lived in perpetual fear of massacres and tyrants. Nobody's life counted for much of anything. But after the coming of Christ, the biblical role of civil government began to be lifted. You think of the Magna Carta of 1215, British common law, republican government, democratic principles, human rights. The Bible, particularly the Ten Commandments, laid the framework and legal foundations of Western civilization. Listen, everything that was written in the Declaration of Independence was preached from the pulpits in America before it went to that document. God's Word made the greatest imprint on our Constitution when it comes to the laws. When it comes to this book, we can praise God how much it did to shape our government. You go into, I have been there more than once, you go in to where the House of Representatives meets, where the President comes in, and the Senate, as well as the Supreme Court, when the President speaks to the nation, as well as all of government. You see pictures of great men in history all around, everywhere, on the walls, off to the side, and coming this way. But you see them with their face to the side. But where the President stands, you look straight up and look at the one face that is facing that person, and it's Moses. It's Moses. That's the impact. Not only government, but there's education. Colossians 2:3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The first universities in Paris and London were started by Christians. The printing of the Gutenberg Bible was considered by Time magazine the most important event in the past 500 years because it made truth and knowledge easily available to all. What was the first book that was printed on the Gutenberg press? A Bible. The first 120 universities in America were started by Christians, starting with Harvard, going on to Yale, Columbia, and all these places. The Greeks and the Romans, before the birth of Christ, did not educate girls. In fact, the only ones that received a so-called higher education were the elitist boys, only from the privileged class. Christianity revolutionized that, revolutionized education, made it available to all and both genders. Augustine observed this, that Christian women were better educated than the pagan male philosophers. Better educated. The pursuit of the knowledge of God in a systematic, philosophical, and in-depth way gave rise to the phenomenon of universities all around the world. Listen, most of the languages of the world were first set to writing by Christian missionaries. Are you listening? Christian missionaries. Not swords, not death. People coming in and they were being taught and they were being given a language that they could read. The first book in most languages in the world was a Bible. Christianity has been the greatest force. Folks, stop and think about it. Take your Bible. Take a look at it. This book right here and the God of this book has done far more good than any other book in the world. Centrally this, it tells mankind how to be saved going into the next world. Folks, we might not see it, but we are engaged in the singular greatest movement that mankind could ever be a part of. Ever. The Christian missionary movement in the 19th century pioneered literally tens of thousands of schools through Africa, Asia, the Pacific Islands, giving education to millions, even in the remotest jungles. The gift of literacy to tribes which had never had a written language. The concept of graded levels of education was first introduced by a German Lutheran, Johann Sturm, in the 16th century. Another Lutheran, Frederick Froebel, introduced kindergartens. Education for the deaf was pioneered by Christians. Sunday schools were begun by Robert Raikes in 1780 to provide boys and girls from the poorest homes with the gift of literacy and the scriptures. In fact, the very name university testifies to its Christian origins. University means one truth. Then there's business. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For most of history, and still in some parts of the world, there were only a few wealthy tyrants. For thousands of years, there was no middle class, no freedom, no individual initiative, nothing like that. During the Christianizing of Europe, this all changed. Believers applied biblical concepts of labor and industry, which eventually became free enterprise capitalism, that, by the way, has done far more than any try at socialism. Like the children of this nation, sadly, are probably going to learn, you can vote your way into that stuff, but if you want out of it, you'll probably have to shoot your way out. Adam Smith pointed out in his book, Wealth of Nations, the large and growing middle classes, the endless business opportunities, the Protestant work ethic, extensive philanthropy, and the standard of living we share today is the fruit of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Then there's science. Hey, John 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Rodney Stark, in his book, For the Glory of God, points out that modern science was born of the Christian faith, not in opposition to it. It was Christian civilization that proposed the design, that design points to a designer, and that man was placed on the earth to discover God's secrets in nature and use those discoveries to benefit people. Christians such as Dr. Louis Pasteur have fueled some of the greatest practical advances in medicine. Pasteur has probably saved more lives than any other individual in history through his invention. Pasteurization, the rabies shot. His belief was that science brings people closer to God. Isaac Newton said this, "Gravity explains the motions of the planets, but it cannot explain who set the planets in motion. God governs all things and knows all that is or can be done." George Washington Carver, best known for his work on peanut crops, and devised over 30 products that could be created using peanuts, including peanut butter, for which I love. Among them were dyes, plastics, milks, cosmetics, medicinal oils, soap, ink, gasoline. He also discovered 118 uses for sweet potatoes, including postage stamp glue, vinegar, flour, and synthetic rubber. Carver saw no problem with being a Christian and a scientist. Carver testified repeatedly that his Christian faith was the only mechanism by which he could effectively pursue science. He believed that God provided everything that people needed. George Washington Carver. But it was up to humans to discover the secrets and uses hidden within each plant, animal, or mineral. And I believe he's right. But then there was also the arts. Ephesians 5, verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Francis Schaeffer. By the way, I love reading Francis Schaeffer. If you ever get a chance, read him. He will be a challenge to you. Pointed out in his book, How Should We Then Live, that the coming of Christ greatly influenced the arts, and that prior to Christ's birth, music was played in minor chords, showing the incompleteness and lack of harmony in life. After Christ's death, he said, and resurrection brought wholeness to individuals and nations, people began creating major chord music and realistic art, an expression of their reconciliation to God. By the way, not only have more books been written about Jesus than anybody else, more music has been written about Jesus than anybody else. Folks, that kind of music is beautiful. That's one of the things I love about Christmas time. Speaking of love, love. Ephesians 3. Paul challenged the church at Ephesus that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. More than anything else, the love of God has made the greatest mark on this earth. For 2,000 years, followers, of the loving Christ have carried His compassion through so many ways. Nations have been won over on missions because of His love. Where there has been devastation through disasters, wars, or famine, people filled with God's love have run to alleviate the suffering via the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and thousands of other agencies. The YMCA at one time was a bastion of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Young Men's Christian Association. Before Jesus Christ, human life in the Greek and Roman world were cheap, folks. Infants born with physical defects, such as blindness, were commonly abandoned to die. However, Jesus Christ showed compassion on those, as you read in the Gospels, healing many blind individuals. When the Roman persecution of the church ended in the 4th century, Christians established asylums for the blind. In the 19th century, Louis Braille, a dedicated Christian who lost his eyesight at age 3, developed the world's first alphabet that enabled blind people to read with their fingers. A Christian. Are you catching what I'm saying? That is not just a happenstance thing. And then there's hope. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, once again, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope, we've already talked about it. Stop and consider. Christ changes people by giving hope in a future He has secured through His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. There is life after leaving this world, what we would commonly call death. There will be a resurrection of all people. By the way, I want everybody in this room to understand something. You had a beginning, but everybody is going to live somewhere forever. everybody, everybody, you reject the Jesus that we preach, and you will remember somebody saying, you're going to live somewhere forever. And you will. You will. Hope is not a wish. As we saw, it's a sure thing based in Jesus Christ. If you would just bear with me just for a few more minutes, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 1. We're still not at our main text, but we'll get there. Philippians chapter 1, one of my favorite verses, but I want you to see this. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You see, the reason why I read all those things that the gospel has done to this world, to show all the change, is because the change continues. We can look at movements and we see them so broad. But the fact of the matter is, the babe in the manger, who became Christ on the cross, and who died for your sin and for mine, those of you who have trusted him, he's seeking to continue the change. When we give the gospel to someone, we so often go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then Paul goes on to say this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Those two verses tell us this. Jesus Christ is still changing the world. One person at a time. The Lord has done so much behind us. All through history, the Lord has done so much around us. And the Lord is seeking to do His will within us. How much did you cooperate with the Lord this last year? Now stop and think about it. He changed the world. He changed your world. He changed my world. He changed their world. How much did we cooperate with He who seeks to do change? Think of the scripture that you read this last year. Did you read your Bible? What did it tell you? The sermons that you heard, even from here, from God's Word, what did God's Word tell you? Even this morning, the problems that you faced, that God sent into your life to get you to trust Him more. Did you resist or did you embrace? The times in your prayer closet, what did you do? Listen, don't think for a moment your life is pretty much nothing more than the things that you buy, the fun you have, and the money that you earn. All that is going to go. The only thing that counts in life are spiritual things. He did change your world. He changed my world. When I think of this, and I think of somebody that most of us know, many of us at least, I think of Dave Welch, Sr. Dave Welch, Sr. is working for Napa Auto Parts. He's the fire chief down in the Cortland Walnut Grove area. His son is pastoring the church there in Cortland. He's a deacon there in the church. And then his wife gets cancer. And then his son leaves the pastor in Elk Grove. And all of a sudden, things are tough. A year ago, this last two-minute warning, the last men's meeting a year ago, Dave Welch will tell you that right up until the very end, he was sitting up in the balcony. And then just toward the end of the invitation, he came down. He came down here and he wept like a baby. And God changed him. Now, he and his wife have such precious times together when they're having their devotions. They sit there together and they read their Bible together. Dave Sr. is interim pastor at the church where his son, Dave Jr., pastor. Nothing has changed. He's still working. He's still the chief of the fire department. And now he's preaching and he's loving it. He's absolutely loving it. You ask him. See, change does come. Please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. This will take just a few minutes. We've already read this. Luke chapter 2. Love this passage for Christmas. Could you look at verse 7, please? And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's a story of a little girl. She was trying to recite the Lord's Prayer. She came to the part that says, "Forgive us our trespasses," but she couldn't say the word trespasses. So she said this in the prayer, "Forgive us our Christmases." I got to thinking about that. You know, how many times have we gone through this time of celebration? And the fact of the matter is, it really wasn't about Christ. You know, we read that passage in Luke chapter 2, I got to meditating on it this last week, and I got upset. I got upset at that innkeeper. You know, this guy, he said, "There's no room." Yeah, there was room. There was his room. There was his room. He had a young lady standing in front of him that was ready to give birth. And he sent them into the stalls. He could have made room. How many of us, all through this last year, with everything we know from God's Word, we resisted making room for Jesus? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, everything that we read about in history, and there is so much more. What Christ did, how He changed people's lives. Christianity is not spread with a spear or a bayonet at the end of a rifle. It is spread by the love of Christ. It is spread by that word, God so loved the world. That's how He goes. And that's how He's received. But when you stop and consider this, at every place, He's resisted. You go into His life in the New Testament, you look at the Gospels. He was resisted at every turn and finally put to the cross. But praise God, the forces of wickedness could not resist His coming out of the tomb. But from ever since then, there are those that resist. And even when we trust Christ as Savior, there's the things of this world, the love of the world that gets in the way, and we don't let Him come in completely. We want His salvation, but we don't want His perfect will. I believe that maybe, to one degree or another, many of us need to pray, Lord, forgive us our Christmases. Lord, help me to bring You in completely. The Christmas, this Christmas, look back at the changes He has made and the changes He sought to make in your life. When He sought to grow your faith, give you rest in the midst of the storm, open your eyes to the harvest, and to teach you His word. Let me ask you, as there was no room in the inn here, will there be room in our lives in 2020? Let's pray.